Thanks for joining us for the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. MassMEP believes that there are some elements to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding their inefficiencies, strengthening their internal processes, or even unlocking their growth, that can extend a manufacturer beyond its current limitations. So every episode, take a journey with us as we speak with manufacturers, legislature, subject matter experts, and so many more as we head down the path of manufacturing across the state of Massachusetts. Whether we're in Boston, Worcester, or out in Springfield, maybe even in the Berkshires, we'll be here every week and we'll explain to you more about manufacturing and what's happening right in your own backyard. Welcome everyone to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. I'm your host, Haley Steele, Marketing Manager with MassMEP. And today we're gonna play in my realm, the marketing realm. So we have some esteemed guests with us today from a great marketing company. If you haven't heard of them yet, well, then you might not be doing your marketing right. So I strongly suggest that you reach out to them. They are known as Tribal Vision, and they're on with us today. We have some upcoming events with them going on, and we're going to talk about marketing, where it's headed now in this new normal, the digital world, and some top tips for you when it comes to lead generation and what you're looking forward to doing on your marketing plan. So I'd like to welcome with us today the founder and partner of VIP, I'm gonna call him, Mr. Chris Cianci. So welcome, Chris.
Hi, Haley. Really excited to be here. Hopefully I can add some value in the next half hour or so. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. Yeah, I said to them earlier, getting some VIPs. I don't know how I'm being blessed with such presence, having you guys on here.
Oh boy.
You're making me blush.
Also with us, we have today a Rob Meyer, Mr. Rob Meyer. He is a celebrity, absolutely. He is a marketing manager with Tribal Vision. So we've been poking at Rob a little bit today, but welcome, Rob.
Hey, thank you so much, Haley. Glad to be here and to deep dive into some of the, you know, some of the things that we've seen happen kind of on the ground in the marketing realm that might be relevant to the manufacturers that are joining today. And, you know, if we have an opportunity to crack Haley up at some point, we're going to try to do that as well, because normally it's her poking at me. Uh-huh. So we're going to see if we can make it go the other way. But
we're
anyway,
good luck.
Glad to be here, Haley.
Thank you. Thanks for joining me, guys. I appreciate it. Usually when we get started with our podcast, I always ask a question. So I'm going to ask this question of you. What, for each of you, when you were growing up, what did you think you were going to be?
Oh, boy. Rob, do you want to hit that? Rob, you might say musician, actually. So maybe you'll have the more fun answer than me. So why don't you go first?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So... Well, it's fun. So, I mean, like, there was definitely the point where I was like, I don't know, first baseman for the Cubs.
Yeah.
So I grew up in Iowa. Pretty quickly figured out that I had two left feet, so let that one go. But then for a while there, I was pretty set on I wanted to move into the rock space and be a rock star.
Yeah.
At what point I outgrew that, I'm not sure that I actually have still to this day. Have a group that I jam with, and you know, I hold the designation of being musician, producer, engineer, all that fun stuff. So no, that's probably what it was though. So
yeah, mine's much more boring. This is Chris. I just say, I grew up in an entrepreneurial background. My father was always starting small businesses, right? Whether it's car washes, gas stations, restaurants, he tried a little bit of a lot. And so I was just brought up in that environment and didn't know what I was going to do, but knew I eventually would want to be my own boss someday. So,
yeah.
So here I am.
Yeah. Is that kind of how you Tribal Vision came to be then, Chris?
Somewhat. I mean, again, it had that mindset, right? Of, yeah, you know, once you see a gap in the marketplace, then, you know, take a calculated risk and go after it. So, I always get choked up when I talk about my father in this situation, right? He sort of gave me the confidence to go after it. And, you know, he's passed on since, but yeah, I think I had an idea about a new type of marketing agency that we felt wasn't out there. You know, I used to be working with a lot of agencies back in the day, and I knew it would take a little bit of money to start Tribal Vision, but yeah, frankly, he gave me the confidence to say, you know, go for it, you know, and I did, you know, so it was a calculated risk, and I typically give him the credit for it.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, and you, because marketing is very, obviously, I know your background, so marketing is very strong in your background as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, before Tribal Vision, so Tribal Vision's, you know, over 11 years old at this point. Before that, I was the head of marketing, you know, managed a $12, $13 million profit and loss budget marketing-wise for years with my other partner, Damien, actually. So we actually worked together before Tribal Vision. And yeah, before that, I concentrated in marketing in business school and yada, yada. So yeah, just certainly have some marketing roots here.
That's awesome. So, it kind of, you know, leads us to where we're heading today and what's going on, you know, with marketing. And we've obviously seen a pretty significant shift. I know we see it on our side with what we do with Mass MEP and how it's transitioning. But what would you call this new, I call it this new digital marketing movement. So kind of give me some, you know, some background on what's going on with that right now.
Yeah, I can start. Yeah. And maybe Rob, fill in where you want. So I just say
sure.
there's a word that's sort of been coined during COVID that isn't just a marketing word. It's a business word that's, I would say it's probably the business word of this past year, which is digitization, similar to what you were saying, Haley, right? So the rise of digitization, and that extends far beyond marketing, right? But we certainly, Tribal Vision certainly plays a role in digitization, right? And that is what's going on because of COVID. Companies nowadays have completely fast-forwarded their digital footprint, right? And if we talk to your manufacturing audience, right, they'll certainly understand that the days of going to trade shows and events, and as I always like to say, sort of shaking hands and kissing babies, certainly super important, right? Before COVID, not important at all, at least for the last year. It will be, I'm sure there will be some significance again with that, but, you know, because of COVID, you know, all of these manufacturers that we're working with and that we're speaking to realize they have sort of that moment, right? Like that, oh, you know what moment, saying I'm behind on my digital footprint. I really need to get online and start figuring out how I'm going to sell online, how I'm going to generate leads online, because those old channels before COVID of, again, shaking hands and going to events and trade shows have been taken away. So a really cool statistic that we saw recently from McKinsey, a big consulting firm, they said that COVID has basically fast-forwarded this rise of digitization, right? Companies looking to build a digital footprint by about 3 years, right? So it's completely fast-forwarded the role of, in our case, digital marketing for companies and the manufacturers that we're speaking with, right? So while it was always somewhat important, they knew they had to start building more of that digital and online presence, COVID just completely fast-forwarded it, where, you know, we're now working with companies where there's a tailwind now at our back saying, my God, yeah, we need to work with a digital agency that can help us sort of just fast forward our efforts by those 3 years that McKinsey stat mentioned. So that's macro sort of backdrop with what's happening right now. I don't know, Rob.
Yeah, and I think, what I would add there is I think that since there was the move away from the trade shows, right? I mean, I think, what was it, like the third week of that horrible week last year in March, where everybody heard, you know, oh, we're going to work from home for 2 weeks. And we weren't really sure what that meant. And then, you know, the subsequent weeks after that, you know, we started getting these notifications of, you know, this is canceled and, you know, this is canceled and that summer concert series is canceled. And you started to hear, wait a second, none of the trade shows I was going to this year are happening. The minute that happened, and I mean, and this is something that we saw really across the board with all of our clients at Tribal Vision, is that people started, you know, looking hard and fast at, well, wait a second, what are we doing with that budget that we were dedicating to flying people all over the country to stay at, you know, five-star hotels and take people out to, you know, rubbing elbows dinners. And once those, you know, very expensive, I mean, they're valuable, but once those very expensive activities were off the table, all of a sudden, digital, you know, if an internal marketing team had one digital marketer, or, you know, in our case, you know, you had a digital marketing firm that has always been preaching, we really should be moving into this digital advertising. All of a sudden, there was all this money available to put towards digital advertising. And I think that, to the point of the McKinsey study that Chris referenced, what really kind of came out of that boost in digital budget is that really everybody that was on the fence about, I don't know, where are we? We're a manufacturer. Why should we really be advertising on Facebook? All of a sudden they're going, wait a second, this Facebook thing works.
Yeah.
Should we be turning this off? I don't think we should. I think we should be putting more money into it. And it's kind of gotten us to a spot now where people are looking more and more at, are there other places we could trim fat in budgets to then reallocate it over to digital? And I think that that's what we're going to see happen more and more and more as we move out of COVID-19 era and into a post-COVID era, is that, yeah, we might go to trade shows, but we're bringing half the sales team with us that we used to, and we're not staying for, you know, 5 days after the event to schmooze. Yeah. Instead, they're coming home on coach, and we're putting that money that was saved into digital advertising.
Yeah. It is funny the way that you said that about the manufacturers, because I know obviously we work with them very closely, and it was a huge shift for them to finally take that leap. You know, it was kind of the doubt and the unknown of what's happening and how should we do that. We did it ourselves. You know, we had to make the shift as well. We did a lot of pivoting and staying relevant for the audience of that at that time. You know, they look to us and go, what do we need to do, and how do we get past this? So we ourselves, we had a lot of those things to do. And, you know, we did pulling out this podcast and putting a message out there and finding what's important for the audience to say, here's some tips of what's happening. And, you know, and this is part of that. This is part of that, you know, that industrial revolution is what we like to call it. And this is that digitization is a huge piece of it.
Yeah, and you make a good point, Haley, also, right, where there's just a lot of manufacturers that have just been on the fence for years, but they always felt like, I mean, the ones that I've always spoken to, they're like, yeah, we haven't really been able to quantify it. We really don't know the ROI, but we've got to make sure that people know we're still in business, and we just have to show our face. And so that was always the reasoning behind it. And then COVID took that away, like, okay, sorry, you're just not going. Yeah. And so that security blanket of, oh yeah, but we've always been, and we just have to make sure people know we're still alive. That no longer could be the valid excuse. So when they didn't go, most frankly, of the manufacturers that we've worked with a year later now are saying, you know what? We didn't really see much of a drop off because of not going to that show. And you know what? Yeah. The money that we did decide, why don't we redistribute to LinkedIn or other social or digital channels, my God, I didn't realize there's all this reporting. We can quantify everything. I can tell my CEO exactly what we got with results from this spend, which was always difficult to do going to that trade show.
Yep.
And so, I mean, you know, it's it really has been fast forwarding people's mindsets, I think, if nothing else, just to embracing digital a little bit more. They're seeing that, you know what, maybe it is the real deal. Maybe we can quantify it. Maybe we actually can drive results more so even than a trade show. And again, I'm not busting on trade shows, right? I think trade shows have their place.
Yeah.
It's just they have their place. They shouldn't be 80% of a marketing budget for a manufacturer. And oftentimes that was-
Yeah, historically, that's often the case, right?
It is.
Very much is.
And Rob, you have the marketers, right? You have a one-person marketing team at a manufacturer, two-person marketing team, 10 salespeople, and the marketers are always salivating like, imagine if I just had that budget of that one trade show with all those people's hotels, and now I can spend it on digital. And they were finally able to do that this past year.
Yep.
What's
Go ahead, Haley.
Because I was that marketing director in a manufacturing company, and yeah. I'm going back 4 or 5 years. I mean, I've been here now 5 years, so six, seven years ago, and I had a, we would attend a trade show. It was $150,000. I had a $250,000 budget, and 150 of it went to that one trade show. And I said, we're cutting back on a booth size. We're not going with as many people. I mean, I chopped it. I got it down to about, I was about 50. Yeah. I got it down to about 50 because I knew that extra 100 grand I needed in my marketing budget. So yeah. You're right. And as I was a one person show, and it really, it's one of those things.
Yeah. The one other point I bring up with you saying that also, Haley, is Rob and I have talked about this at length. That, you know what else COVID has done? We've just talked about digitization a little bit, and you know, everyone knows the word probably by now, but something marketing and sales specific that we haven't touched on, which I think is important, is just how we were talking about the trade show, where back in the day, sales was far more dominant, frankly, for lead generation than marketing with most manufacturers, right? So much more important, even in just the psyche of a manufacturer. Nowadays,
the Rolodex,
it's actually changing. And it, you know, so now it's the sales role for lead gen is actually becoming a little bit less important. Of course, it's important. And Rob and I are in sales, right? So we don't have any vested interest, right? We're a lead generation shop. We're not just marketing, let's be clear. Yeah. So we do a lot on the sales end for manufacturers. So I can hopefully sound objective here to say that marketing is playing a much larger role now in starting to drive new business than it ever has, right? So it used to be sales was like 75% of someone's budget in thinking about lead gen. And then, oh yeah, there's marketing, the 25%. You could actually argue now that it's being flipped on its head. Mm-hmm. So now it's actually like 75% marketing specific for driving leads and 25% sales specific. Where nowadays sales is not charged with finding the lead. They're charged with, as they should be, closing the lead.
Yeah.
Right. But nowadays it's a really good, efficient marketer with digital channels at their fingertips and social channels can typically be much more scalable in their approach with lead gen than a salesperson or a few salespeople or a few reps or a distributor. And so I think COVID has shined the light on this, that, you know what? Yeah. Marketing can be actually more important than sales in some ways of driving top of funnel marketing leads.
Yeah.
Yep. And I mean, and that's really due to the fact that, you know, who in the organization is owning the channels, right? I mean, worked out nice for marketing, but the fact that marketing owns, you know, paid search, for example. I mean, what is paid search? It's, you know, it's in a nutshell, it's like the most intent-based channel for leads there is, because what is a person doing when they click on a lead that clicks on an ad that they, you know, had delivered to them via paid search? They typed into Google, you know, need a Boston marketing firm, and then boom, Tribal Vision and some other options came up. They clicked on that. They end up on a landing page that we built that's got a contact form. And then they, you know, end up in our sales pipeline. That's far removed from speed dialing, you know, your entire Rolodex trying to find out if there's somebody that might have a need. Yeah. They're coming to me saying, I have this need.
Yeah.
Now get in touch with me so that I can, you know, hire you to do what I'm looking for. And, you know, that in of itself has turned, as Chris said, it's turned the whole thing to where, you know, it's the opposite of what it was 10 years ago.
Totally. So as
turning the lead funnel on its head.
Yeah. So as we're coming out of this now and we're starting to, obviously we're transitioning back in, what's your advice to, you know, companies as we're making this switch?
Yeah,
jump in, go full force. Like, let's go start going back into things, or maybe hybrid. What are you thinking?
Yeah, well, I would say first off is, again, hopefully, I mean, there are some manufacturers that just shut off marketing altogether, right? So let's be clear, like that budget that Rob was talking about that was freed up, the trade show budget, half a manufacturer said, you know what, I'm going to redeploy that for digital. And then let's just make it very simple, right? And the other half, put it in their pocket and say, you know what? We're in trouble potentially because of COVID. We need to save all the money we can, and didn't redeploy it at all, right? So it depends on the manufacturer as to what they've done this past year in terms of their risk tolerance for this. But I will say that, you know, broadly speaking, this isn't, and again, it depends on the type of manufacturer, Haley. So I don't want to be so cut and dry, right? But for manufacturers that are dealing with tailwinds, right, dealing with industries where they're reopening now because of COVID, yeah, this isn't a time, if they have the budget, to be timid and start dipping their toe in the water, right? We're working with some manufacturers now where, I'll give you an example. There's an AV company that we're working with, right, that do audiovisual manufacturing for that space. Do you know, there's a really amazing window right now with that type of opportunity where companies are bringing their employees back to work and they completely can then be focusing in on, hey, you've got to be buying the equipment now to make sure that Haley and Emma at Mass MEP are safe with technology, you know, at their place of work, right? There's a play that an AV services company can have, a manufacturer, to get that word out. And there's a short window to get that word out right now to employers. So in that case, yeah, I wouldn't be shy. You have to start taking some calculated risks. Yeah. Now, if it's a manufacturer, like a contract manufacturer, where there's not going to be, it's not as if there's that big of an opportunity with this reopening, then okay, then start dipping your toe in a little bit more than you used to with marketing, but still probably taking a little bit of a more guarded approach than someone that can maybe double down given this tight window. One other point I would just make, though, is also what companies should be doing right now, manufacturers should be doing, if nothing else, is what COVID's taught us. We just talked about marketing, right, on the digitization piece. But also, if we talk about sales, Rob touched on it a little bit, like there's a whole sales enablement piece to this. Like nowadays, manufacturers right now have to be looking at, what should I be doing to make sure my sales team that used to be shaking hands and kissing babies, it's never going to fully go back to that. So how are they going to be selling online and create that still strong relationship with the prospect with online tools, sales enablement tools and platforms that separate them from other competing manufacturers? Mm-hmm. And so I just want to be clear. We talked about digitization. We talked about sales and marketing in their roles that's being turned upside down. But now we're going back to sales right now, sort of a third key sort of piece here to the stool, where we're saying that the sales men and women that you have as a manufacturer, you've got to make sure now that they are selling digitally, not just old school ways of, okay, let me knock on doors, let me go to that trade show. Sure, there's going to be still some of that, but it's forced manufacturers to say, what can I do with LinkedIn? What can I do with Sales Navigator on LinkedIn to be able to build out targeted lists of 2,000 individuals that my sales team needs to be fully well-versed on so they can scale their sales efforts? Yeah. Are there platforms that we can be using? Like we'll talk about probably in our webinar next week on the 14th, some sales enablement platforms where they actually can be building relationships through a third-party platform that will like blow people's minds. Okay, so those are the types of pivots that need to be made in this post-COVID environment.
Yeah, you know, what I'd like to add there is I think there's some pivots that have happened since COVID became a word we all knew.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily need to abandon quickly. I mean, I know that everybody's, oh, I can't wait till we're in the post-COVID environment. I think that there are things like Zoom meetings, for example. My gosh, for the salesperson that their life used to be, hey, I'm on the road every day and I can do X number of sales meetings. They should seriously be considering, is that really a necessary step? Or can I keep these meetings as remote and do twice as many of them in a day? I mean, I lean towards stick with the remote as much as we can, because I really don't think that after, you know, people go back to their offices 2 or 3 days a week and we have all of these policies around what that looks like, I don't think that that means that everything needs to immediately just, now we're turning off the COVID habits and we're starting this new thing. If there's elements of it that work well for your organization and you're seeing generated efficiencies that you didn't have before, why abandon that just because some people got vaccinated and now I'm not going to get an infectious disease? Yeah. Great. Still, don't blow up the efficiencies that you've gained just because you can go into somebody's office. It doesn't mean you have to. And I think that's a huge learning that all of us have gotten in the last year that we shouldn't just turn our back on. So.
That's kind of our thought. It's that finding that balance, I think, is really what it is. Like exactly you're saying, you're both saying you've got to find what works best for you, and we're doing the same thing. It allows us to have a bigger, broader reach. You know, we do the in-person. We have a hybrid mix, so we have an in-person event, but we're also going to do it, virtually as well. So if something happens, or I don't know, maybe we live in New England, so if we're going to get 6 feet of snow and we were supposed to do an event on that day and all of a sudden nobody can show up, we can do it virtually. So we can still do and still have a lot more options.
There's a playbook in place, so we shouldn't throw it out with the bathwater, so to speak.
And what COVID's also done is it's opened up potentially borders, right? So you now have, let's look at a job shop, for example. A job shop, right, that we work with typically back in the day, we're like, okay, it's a 100-mile vicinity, for us to be helping someone. Now, because of remote technology like Zoom that's out there and other tools, if they know them, they can start saying, you know what, I can service other manufacturers that are farther away than that. Yeah. Right. Even Tribal Vision, right? Tribal Vision used to be, okay, it's Massachusetts, it's a drive away, it's a handshake away. Because of COVID now and with this type of technology, we're in Florida, we're in California, so manufacturers also have to potentially rethink their strategy to say, can we potentially now start selling outside of the region that we were selling in before? Right. And if they do see that that's a possibility, that was my point about sales enablement tools, where they really need to be able to grasp those and leverage those properly so that they can have a relationship building environment online, similar to a Zoom.
Yeah. So talking about some of those tools, obviously for us, this is like, we're in our own play, on our own playground right now with the marketing, all the marketing wisdom that's rolling through these four screens that are in front of me. But, what are some of the tools or automation, apps or their platforms that you can suggest that, might be good spots for everybody to start? Because you guys both know a lot of the manufacturers we work with, they don't even have a marketing department. They don't, it may be one person that's doing this. So you kind of need to give them a one-stop shop almost for them to say, because you don't want them to feel like it's daunting, because it is important to their company, but at the same time, what are some tools that they can use or platforms they can use that will help them?
Yeah, I'll throw a tool out there and then Rob, throw another one or a platform out after me, but I'll start. And again, we're gonna go over more of these, of course, in our webinar together, but I'll throw Vidyard out there right now. So it's VIDYARD.com. If you take a look at Vidyard, it's a video tool, if you wanna think of it that way, right? Where similar to Zoom, but again, a little bit more custom than for the sales process. You can integrate a video in so many ways as a salesperson. So we're talking sales enablement tool right now, right? Yeah. We're not talking marketing, but this also can be used for marketing, but I'll use it for sales. Think of it I'll give an example of how Vidyard can be used. So what Vidyard is it's a platform that will enable me to shoot a quick video of me, just like you're seeing me right now on my screen on Zoom. It's me there on screen talking to you. And if I wanted to bring up things on my screen or on my proposal that I'm walking you through, I can completely do that while you're seeing me on screen talk to that, right? It's awesome. And so how could you use Vidyard as a salesperson? Well, number one, if we just even start from a marketing perspective, let's just say you're a salesperson that's doing your own prospecting emails. Instead of sending a boring email out that's just, hey, Haley, I saw that Mass MEP does so-and-so. Would you like to talk? I'd love to hear more and tell you how we can help you. Boring. You're going to delete it. Imagine instead if it's a Vidyard video thumbnail in the email where you see me waving at you And I can even show a screen saying, hi, Haley, you see that in your email. It's of course going to tempt you to like click on that email. You've probably never seen it before like this.
Yeah.
And so now all of a sudden you can hear me speak about my offering instead of write about my offering. And from there say, hey, if you have 5 minutes, 10 minutes, Haley, would love to show more about how we can help you. Your conversion into an actual meeting is going to go up dramatically because of that. Okay. Yeah. Now let's say you take the meeting and then I convince you that we're great for Mass MEP and you say, yeah, you know what? Can you put a proposal together for me? Sure. Well, guess what? I'm now going to send you a follow-up email and I'm going to walk you through the proposal. I'm not just going to send you a boring PDF document of the proposal. I'm going to like be able to be animated saying, hey, Haley, I'm bringing up the proposal on my screen right now. I'm going to walk you through it, right? So there's so many ways to use Vidyard, but a video in that way. But those are two very basic ways where salespeople today need to know that that type of tool exists. It's very inexpensive and it's something that can separate them from other manufacturers that are doing it the old fashioned way. And I can almost guarantee you that 99% of manufacturers are doing it just the same old way that's boring, that isn't going to get attention, but if they just didn't know about the tool. So there's one tool. Rob, you got one to throw at us?
Yeah, I mean, here, I'm probably going to go a little bit more basic, but immediately my mind goes to, especially if you have more prospects at more stages in your sales process, there's a huge, huge need for that CRM, customer relationship management system. And I also know, having worked with a lot of different manufacturers, is that, I mean, and I'm not tattling on anybody, but I know that there are organizations out there that are still using spreadsheets with, you know, they got 50 columns in their spreadsheet with all the different stages, and they're trying to record every conversation that they have in this thing. And that is, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work on a small scale. It doesn't work when you're talking about a larger scale. But that being said, there are CRM tools out there that are totally free that can check this box off for you. I mean, and that I'm kind of setting it up here perfectly, but HubSpot.com. If you're not aware of HubSpot, they're based in Cambridge, Mass here. Definitely check them out. Their CRM tool is free. Now their platform covers both sales, marketing, customer service. So there's a lot under the hood of the HubSpot platform. But first and foremost, the thing is built around their CRM offering, and their CRM is completely free. So there's absolutely no reason for you to not check it out, at least from the perspective of seeing how easy it is to customize the sales platform for your specific sales process, and then start tracking your customer and prospect interactions within the platform. It just, I mean, it's night and day in terms of being able to track, visualize, and, you know, not allow any prospect conversation to fall between the cracks. And again, the fact that it's free, it, from my perspective, feels like a no-brainer if you don't have a CRM tool, to at least check it out. So like I said, it's HubSpot.com, HubSpot.com. Definitely, definitely worth the, yes, 1S.
It sounded like you said two potentially.
Oh, yeah. Did I?
I think there was a glitch in the matrix.
Oh boy. the interwebs are confusing themselves. Yes. But yes, HubSpotSingular.com. Definitely worth your time. And I mean, I will say, I know that there's out there, there's like the older sales folks that might feel like, oh man, I don't know.
I've got
some reservations about this whole fancy platform. This is very, very easy to navigate around. It's very easy to customize.
Yeah.
It's not intimidating at all, which I know a lot of tools like, oh my God, if you've ever, and hopefully they're not listening right now because they'll hunt me down. But if you've ever logged into a Salesforce, oh my God, that is like, all right, I'm done.
Yep. Preaching to the choir. Yep.
HubSpot is not a Salesforce style CRM. where you need an administrator just to change, change a field within your contact record. This is built by salespeople for salespeople, or at least that's how it looks. So yeah. Strongly recommend.
I agree. And just in case anybody is wondering out there, which they probably are, no, Rob is not getting paid by HubSpot to do a promo for them right now.
Yeah, we're fully agnostic as a firm. So, I mean, there's another CRM that you can throw out there also called Pipedrive. So if you're just looking for something very basic for just a CRM, because HubSpot is so much more than just a CRM, right? Rob just giving you the free version, but also you can, to show that we're not just HubSpot fans, right? We're just looking for the right solution for the right size for the right manufacturers. They can take a look at Pipedrive also, PIPEDrive.com. And that's also an easy way for, if you're just looking for a CRM just for your sales efforts, very intuitive, very inexpensive. It's not free, but it's, we're not talking more than $50 a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the biggest takeaway I think that a lot of people can get from this is there is something out there that's going to fit everybody in every organization.
Right.
And
that's exactly right, Kaylee.
Yeah. And it'll fit your budget too. You can make them fit your budget. And that's the best part about it. I think that's hard. It's that daunting thing that a lot of people have, but they really are.
Truth be told, if we were having this conversation 5-10 years ago, no, there wasn't a solution for every size organization. It was, you can buy the Rolls Royce or you're just not going to have a car. since then though, with things like marketing automation and CRMs just becoming where it's standard that most organizations are using it in some capacity, that's opened the floodgates to, a lot of additional platforms that zero in on one particular aspect of the, the sales or marketing process to put out platform offerings that are competitively priced that work for, the smaller, mid-sized organizations that, again, don't want to buy a Rolls Royce just so they can track their sales process.
The cool thing about all this is that, us at Mass MEP, we do have programs that we work with Tribal Vision. So we do have I think it's the lead generation and marketing. We do consortiums. And so if you are on the smaller mid-size manufacturing side, I think we've got some going right now, right, Chris? Are you guys working? I think you're working one right now, but hopefully we'll open some up more as we progress. The consortiums run quite an extensive time, but as we start to wrap them up, we'll do some more information sessions. You can always check our website and see when they're coming up. But that's a great opportunity for a small, medium-sized manufacturer to jump in on.
Yeah, there's intense training that happens over multiple days. It's usually supported by a grant, so it's not too much out of pocket for a manufacturer. So you can sort of think of it as, we have our webinar coming up, right? And it was on April 14th, Haley?
Yeah, April 14th. Yep.
So that's sort of a bite-sized version, if you want to think of it that way, right? We got the bite-sized version, a couple hours in a webinar on the 14th. And then what Haley's talking about with a consortium is, a multi-day training where you would have your head of marketing or whoever's handling your lead generation efforts, salespeople as well, would be part of that multi-day training. And then on top of that, there's also, if you say, okay, great, I'm happy about being trained, but frankly, even with the training, I'm not going to be able to execute on this. Mm-hmm. There's also grants through Mass MEP where if you say, hey, just do it. We just need it to be done. We don't want to just be trained. We don't have time. Mm-hmm. We just need someone to help us implement all of this. Then there are grants that are out there also through Mass MEP. There are 4 different grant modules on lead generation that if you're interested, you can learn more from Haley or someone else at Mass MEP.
Yeah, our shameless plug. So this is kind of where this is all heading. Is the reason we did this podcast is because, as Chris had said, on April 14th at 11 a.m., we are going to be doing a webinar. The registration is open for that. We do have an hour slotted for it. We're going to do more focused tips for refining your lead generation engine in a post-COVID world. So Rob and Chris will be leading that webinar off for us. So go to massmap.org and you can register for the webinar, but so you just got a small taste of some of the points that we'll be hitting on. I'm not in their pocket. It is they will be hitting on that day. So they'll be going over. It's a great opportunity. It's free. It's a no cost webinar. I mean, you just register. I don't want to say it's free because people's time is very valuable. So, you know, your time is in it, but the value then that you will gain, your return on that investment of your hour's time, it might be exponential. So we recommend you just jump on there and see what you guys have to offer. So we'll do it on, so it's Wednesday, April 14th at 11 a.m. So, well, thanks.
That's great, Haley. We'll make sure we have slides put together. So typically in those types of situations, we can send you the deck afterwards. So you don't have people that, you know, during maybe lunch or whatnot, scribbling down notes. Oh, Vidyard, how do you spell that? We'll make sure that we have some slides put together. And Rob and I are always ones that want it to be really practical. So we'll make sure, you know, that's why we thought of it as like tips, like let's give like practical tips. So we'll make sure that we'll do our best to make sure it's worth people's hour.
Yeah. Lots of takeaways. Lots of takeaways.
Yeah. I think too, that, it's good to keep in mind that whether you're in the sales or marketing team, I think there's going to be content in that webinar next week. That is really going to be valuable to you, as we're not going to just stick with only in marketing platform tips. And if you don't have MailChimp, you're left out to pasture. No, there'll be some practical nuggets in there for all the teams. So yeah, if you have the time, definitely join.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks guys for taking some time out of your days. I know you're both very busy, so I appreciate giving us a little bit. And we'll give you some time back. He's got a meeting he's got to get to. So, but I just want to thank everybody for listening. Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Chris. And thanks for listening to the Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast. And we'll see everyone soon.
Thank you for listening to the Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. You can subscribe to our channel anywhere you listen to your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and you can always go to our website at massmep.org. So we'll see you next time, whether it's our space, your space, or cyberspace.